Oh, that may be the prayer of all of us. Here I am, Lord. I really don't deserve to be up here. But then again, I guess none of us deserve, the goodness from God's hand. We're all sinners deserving of a devil's hell. But yet Christ died to save us, amen. He died to give life, eternal life to us all. This may not be a salvation message, but if you're here without Christ and you don't know if you were to die today, where you'd go, where your eternal home would be, I just beg of you to come to know Christ as your Savior. Trust Him with all your heart, and you'll never regret it. It'll be the best and most important decision you ever made in your life. Amen. Today we're going to look at the sin of murmuring. Again, like I said, this is really not a salvation message, but something the Lord put upon my heart. And I'll tell you, this week has not been the greatest. I don't know if you saw me come in this morning. I had cotton shoved up my nose because I had... earlier this week, I had gotten what I think might be a boil inside my nose, and it hurt like crazy. I've been on Tylenol just to get the pain down, and yesterday was, as I was writing out the message, I was, had the hot compresses. I'm putting it on all day. I'm like, ooh. And I really, like I said, it hurt bad. And I'm like, I really don't feel like preaching tomorrow morning. But praise the Lord. He brings you through it. And it's just the Lord's got something He needs said. And we're going to say it. And we're going to let the Lord work in our hearts. But what is murmuring? Now, Mrs. Harvey told me this morning, she says, "Brother," she says, "I have not had too much sleep this morning, this last night. You're going to have to really preach loud and lively to keep me awake." And I'm like, "I can't guarantee that, but but we'll see. We'll go." But what is murmuring? What does it mean to murmur? So I looked it up in the dictionary because sometimes, words have different take on different meanings as the years go on. So I looked it up in whatever the year old dictionary that we're supposed to use. Webster's 18 something dictionary. And it means to complain, to gripe, or to utter discontent. Boy, am I guilty. I may be up here giving this message, but it's speaking to my heart, especially too. I've got a little confession to make. Most of you know I work for Hobby Lobby, and I've been there for maybe about 14 years. Recently, the store here that I transferred to, we got a little over a year. We got a new manager, things under the old manager were going really well. The morale was pretty decent. Things were going good, but there were really not a whole lot of bad spirits or anything, as far as amongst the people. And then we got a new manager. And this fellow came from Temple, which is a much smaller store than the one here in Killeen, started making changes. Changes, unnecessary changes that really got people upset. So, of course, I jumped on the bandwagon and started griping and complaining, too. And it's just not good. It's just not good. It's not good for your coworkers. It's not good for you. It's not good for people that come in new as a new hire, and they see all these, seasoned employees griping, moaning, complaining about, the new manager. And I'm not going to say that we were all wrong in what we were complaining about, but still, it's not right to murmur. It's not right to complain. What I should have done is maybe if I had some concerns that were really, I felt important, should have gone to him and just kind of said, could I talk to you for a while? And you know, I don't know much, but over the many years I've been in retail, I've learned a few things, and maybe they might help. I don't know. But anyway, enough about Hobby Lobby. But usually when we think about murmuring, who do we think of besides ourselves? No, who do we think of? The Israelites, yeah. And Moses. And, you know, we go right to the children of Israel and say, how in the world could they murmur over and over and over? They've seen the hand of God, the miracles, and they still murmured and complained. But we're not going to go there right now. We're going to instead turn to the New Testament and go to the little book of Jude. Right before the last book of the Bible, Revelation, there's a little book, only one chapter long, named Jude. And we're going to look starting in the middle of verse 14. But before we do, let's ask the Lord to bless the service this morning. Father, we thank you that we're here this morning. We thank you for all the blessings you've given to us, Lord, and we thank you for bringing us all out this morning, Lord. I pray that you'd just bless our time together, speak to our hearts, let the Holy Spirit work upon our hearts. And Lord Jesus, I pray that you just help us, Lord, if the Holy Spirit's working, just help us to get things taken care of, Lord. I pray, Father, that you'd bless our time together, be a pastor and his family, keep them safe, and help them to have a good time on vacation and bring them back safely, Lord. And we, again, just thank you and praise you for little Rosemary and the blessing, the miracle she is, and just pray that you continue to put your hand upon her and keep her healthy throughout her life, Lord. We just thank you and praise you for that. And Lord, just bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jude, verse number 14. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Now, we're going to continue in a minute. A characteristic, murmuring, is a characteristic of a group of people. And believe it or not, it's not the New Testament church-going Christians. It's, according to this verse, it's the ungodly. So in verse 15, it says that ungodly, them that are ungodly among them, and their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and all of their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Murmuring's a characteristic of the ungodly. And we may not have looked at that before in that way, but I don't know about you, I don't want to be part of that group. If we jump over to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 6, we see the Lord Jesus speaking to us in verse number 43, John 6, 43. If you jump up to verse 41, it says, the Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it that he saith, I am come down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not amongst yourselves. We are commanded not to. Now, Jesus wasn't just talking to those that were there at the time. But when Jesus speaks, it also has meaning for us today. And he, murmur not amongst yourselves. He doesn't want his people to murmur. So he condemns murmuring. Let's look at Philippians 2:14. These are just some instances in the New Testament that talk about murmuring. There are more, but we're not going to look at all of them today. 2:14, Philippians 2:14. Another command, do all things without what? Without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. You and I, according to this verse, we're to be lights in the world. But how can we be lights in the world if we murmur and complain? What kind of light is that? It's not a very good one. We're to be out there being an encouragement and a good influence, a witness on those, whether they're lost, whether they're a Christian, and we need to help them, encourage them in the Lord. And how can we do that if they see us murmuring and complaining, whether it's whatever about? You know, it may be about the pastor, it may be about, you know, somebody else in the church, it may be about something you have to do, whatever. But how can we be a blessing? How can we be a light if we're murmuring? Now we're going to jump back to the Old Testament and look at the Israelites. I've taught Sunday school for many years and junior church and different things, and you know, we it seems like every time we go through the Israelites and talk about this period of time amongst the Israelites, it's so easy to look at them and say, what in the world? What are you people thinking? And I'm sure sometimes the Lord looks at us and says, what are you people thinking? Look at what I've given you. Look at what you've got in me. What are you complaining about? You know? But let's go to Exodus 14. Book of Exodus, second book of the Bible, chapter number 14. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, now this is the this is when the Israelites had already come out of Egypt, and they come to the brink of the Red Sea. They can't go anywhere because there's just water. And so they're like, okay, what's going on here, Moses? Then all of a sudden they hear the chariots and Pharaoh's, the horses, and they see the clouds, of dust rumbling over the hill, because his army is coming and chasing them. And they start murmuring. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in this wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in this wilderness, in the wilderness. Again, they've seen the 10 plagues. They've seen how the Lord brought them through. And then the Lord brought them out of Egypt. They've seen the hand of God work. And then as soon as something happens, boom! Complaining to Moses, what'd you do? Bring us out of Egypt to die here? There were no graves back there. You had to bring us out here to die? Exodus 15. Next chapter, let's look over at verse 22. It gets better. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out to the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And he goes on to say that the Lord instructed him to take a branch of that tree, put it in the water, and made the water sweet and able to drink. But again, they had just crossed the Red Sea. I mean, can you imagine? And here they come, no water. What are we going to do? We're going to die out here, Moses, with no water. And God provides. Exodus 16. Verses 2 and 3. And the whole congregation of Israel, the children of Israel, murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, "Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, where we sat by the flesh pots, when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." And of course, God sends manna and provides manna on a daily basis. Exodus 17. Verses 2 and 3. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said unto them, "Why chide with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord?" And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, "Wherefore is it that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" And Moses went to the Lord, and the Lord instructed Moses to take the rod and to strike the rock. And water came forth, and they had all the water they needed. But you know, the Lord didn't look at this murmuring and just let it pass by. This was getting to be a problem. And he brought along the Amalekites to war with the children of Israel. And you remember that, where Moses was, every time, you know, Moses held his hands up, the Israelites would prevail. And when his hands got tired and he brought them down, the Amalekites would prevail. And so Aaron and Hur held up his hands, and Israel had the victory. But let's look at in the book of Numbers. Let's jump over to Numbers. Chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. So again, God doesn't just turn a deaf ear to what's going on, or just, not pay attention. He deals with this problem, with this sin. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. And now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes." So not only did they murmur, now they're saying, "God, we're sick and tired of this manna that you sent us." Here God provided them bread day after day after day after day. "We're sick of it, Lord. We want something else. We want meat." And the Lord sent quails. And you've heard preachers say that there's humor in the Bible. And there is. And if we go a little further in Numbers 11, down to verse 18, the Lord's talking to Moses, and it says, "And say thou unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh. For ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, Who shall give us flesh to eat? For it is well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. And ye shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month, until it come out at your nostrils, and it be loathsome unto you, because that ye have despised the Lord which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, Why came we forth out of Egypt?" Oh, they always look back. They always look back at Egypt. It wasn't so bad. Really? That's not what you said when you were there. It's not so, it wasn't so bad. You remember all that we ate, all that we had to eat? And the Lord says, I'll send you meat. But you are going to get so sick of it. You are going to loathe it. Until it come out at your nostrils. And we might think, give it to him, Lord. We're guilty too. We're guilty too. So he had them battle with Amalek. He sent fire and destroyed a number of them. And then the Bible says in verse 33, he sent a plague. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. And they called the name of that place Kibron Hattaava, because there they buried the people that lusted. So again, God's not letting his people get away with sin. He's dealing with the sin as it comes about. And if you'll notice in those verses that we did read, in verses Exodus 15:24, the people murmured against Moses. Exodus 16:2, the children of Israel murmured against Moses. Exodus 17:3, and the people of Israel murmured against Moses. Numbers 11. The people cried unto Moses. Numbers 14:2. The children of Israel murmured against Moses. Numbers 16:41. The children of Israel murmured against Moses. They murmured against the man of God. But if we read in Exodus chapter 16, Exodus 16, 7 and 8. "And in the morning when ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us?" And Moses said, "This shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord." You know, we may murmur about our pastor. We may murmur about, someone else in the church, whatever it might be. Our murmuring isn't against them, Moses said. It's against the Lord. We're quick to condemn the children of Israel because of their murmurings, and yet we find ourselves doing the same thing. Many, many Christians go home after a Sunday morning service and they sit down to roast pastor for dinner. You've heard that kind of phrase somewhere in thereabouts always mentioned. And it shouldn't be, because we're actually murmuring against God. We're complaining against God. And we're going to look at two verses, one in Deuteronomy 1:27. And this is very serious. Deuteronomy 1:27. "And ye murmured in your tents, and said, because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. But the phrase I want you to look at is, and ye murmured in your tents. Psalm 106:25. But murmured in their tents, and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. Murmuring in the home. What happens when there's murmuring in the home? Especially if you have little children or, you know, teenagers, whatever. And they hear that. They see that amongst mom and dad. And, you know, maybe they're, you know, griping about something that they're upset about the pastor with or whatever. Those children follow the example of those parents. They end up having a disregard or a disrespect for the pastor. And that's not good. Remember, the pastor is the man that God put in position in the church. God put him there. And if we, you know, it's so easy to murmur against the one in charge, whether it be my boss at Hobby Lobby, whether it be Moses and Aaron, whether it be your pastor. And this is not something new, you know, just with our church. I mean, you know, the church that I belong to in Chicago, you'd see that. I was guilty of it. But in the home, that's very dangerous because now the children are falling under that mentality. And, you know, you may have concerns that are legit. But bring those concerns to the pastor and do it in the right way. Have the right attitude, humility. Don't come, you know, to pastor and say, have the right attitude. And because, again, like I said, you may have some concerns that are legit. And that you would like to discuss with the pastor, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, we ran into the problem back at the church in Chicago where the pastor was led astray by an individual who came into our church. He was a street preacher. And, you know, he preached right, but the pastor kind of gave him carte blanche in the church, and it eventually caused a big problem, and there was a split, and it just wasn't very good. But again, that was the pastor's doing, and yes, there should have been, you know, maybe men that stood up and went to the pastor and said, look, we're not real comfortable with the way this is going on. We don't think this is, you know, of the Lord. You know, in the right way. Go to the pastor and voice your concerns. But don't murmur. Don't gripe and talk about it, you know, amongst yourselves. And that's not going to do any good. It's going to do more harm than good. A murmuring spirit in the church could discourage the unsaved person from allowing the Spirit to bring him to salvation. Think about that. I don't think any of us would want to be guilty of that. But it can definitely happen. You know, if they see, you know, the congregation, you know, after the service, you believe what he said? You know, what kind of, you know, how does that make them feel? Oh, yeah, I want to be part of this. Yeah, let's not be held in that situation where we would hinder the Spirit from from bringing someone to salvation because of our murmuring. It can also keep newly saved Christians from growing in the Lord. They could be just, we're to be an encouragement to them, to those that are new Christians, newly saved. And in fact, if there's murmuring going on, it can have just the opposite effect. Instead of encouraging, we're discouraging them from going forward in the Lord. Sorry, I had to, as I was writing these notes, I ran out of room, so I had to turn it to the side. But let's look at 1 Corinthians 10:10. 1 Corinthians 10:10. Like I said, there's results for murmuring. It says, "Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmur." Now, this is, they were going through Israel's experiences as an example for the church in this chapter. They were going through and recounting what had happened, you know, amongst the Israelites. So that they could be an example, so that they could be, you know, that the early church could learn from it. And it says, "Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed by the destroyer." As God allowed these plagues, the fire, the different things to happen, so that he could get his children back on the right track. "Neither murmur ye," another command of the Lord in the New Testament, "neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured." Use what is in the past. Learn from it. You know, why do you think all of this history is in the Word of God? Because God just thought it would be a good story to read? No, it's in there so that we can learn from it. So that we can say, oh, yeah, if we go that route, there's some things that are going to happen that we're not going to like. Let's learn from what happened. Like I said, Satan tried to get me to say, I really am in a lot of pain. I can't get up here and do this message. But, you know, I guess we needed it. And I pray that you would, you know, allow the Lord to work upon your heart, each and every one of us, and just don't get caught up in that. And you'll be a lot happier. The church will be a lot happier place. And we'll be able to get a lot more done. Like I said, if you've got legitimate concerns, you take them and talk with the pastor. He'll sit down and talk. He's not going to brush you off like, ugh. So let's close in prayer. Father, Lord, we ask you to please be with us now. And Lord, even though this wasn't a salvation message, if there's one here this morning that doesn't know you as Savior, oh Lord Jesus, I pray that you'd work upon their hearts. Let them not leave here this morning without trusting you as their Lord and Savior, putting their complete trust in you and what you did upon Calvary's cross to save them from their sins. Lord, help each and every one of us not to be a deterrent. Help each and every one of us not to be a murmur or a complainer. And Lord, if we've had this in our, if we're dealing with this in our lives, I pray that you'd help us to get that taken care of this morning and just leave it at the cross. Father, just work in a mighty way in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.